We'll read today from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 24, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the last chapter of the ninth canto, and these are the last few verses before the beginning of the tenth canto. So these verses at the end of the ninth canto are like a prelude. How do you say in German, prelude? They give you a feeling of anticipation for the coming chapter, or the coming canto, rather, which is going to present Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, in Mathura, in Dwarka. Who's going to translate? So you can translate what I just said?
I would have to just cut a few of my handles with my eyes open in the same country.
Hello, Janya Shamananam Duka Shota Chamonudam Anugrahaya Bhaktanam Supunyam Gatanodhyasa. Translation. To show causeless mercy to the devotees. I'll just read the translation first. To show causeless mercy to the devotees who would take birth in the future in the age of Kali, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, acted in such a way that simply by remembering him, one will be freed from all the lamentation and unhappiness of material existence. In other words, he acted so that all future devotees, by accepting the instructions of Krishna consciousness stated in Bhagavad Gita, could be relieved from the pangs of material existence. Text 60 or 61. That's maybe 62. Okay. 9 canon, chapter 24. Hello, Janishyamana. You read it out loud
as
you're reading it.
I can't even, another stuff,
especially
in
my personally. I'm gonna read it out loud. You could play around.
Um den Gott geweisen, die den weisem Verlauf des Kali Yuga noch geboren werden, grundlose Barmherzigkeit zu erweisen, handelt Krishna, die höchste Persönlichkeit Gottes, auf solche Weise, dass man durch bloße Erinnerung an ihn von allen Wehlagen und Unglück des materiellen Daseins befreit wird. In anderen Worten, er handelt so, dass alle in der Zukunft erscheinenden Gottgeweihten durch das Befolgen der Krishna-bewussten Lehren, die in der Bhagavad Gita niedergeschrieben sind, von dem Leid des materiellen Daseins befreit werden.
Purport. The Lord's activities. Well, you might as well read the purport in German. She learned German in high school for 4 years. should work on her speaking German.
Herr Leutkochon, der Herr redet die Gottgeweihten und tötet die, der Herr rettet die Gottgeweihten und tötet die Dämonen. Paraste, Sadhu, Nama.
Pritchanaya, Sadhu, Nama, Pranashaya, Chetushkrita.
Dies geht Hand in Hand. Krishna erscheint eigentlich, um die Sadhus oder Bhaktas zu befreien. Doch indem er die Dämonen tötet, erweist er diesen jeden ebenfalls Barmherzigkeit. Denn jeder, der von Krishna getötet wird, erlangt Befreiung, ob der Herr tötet oder beschützt. Er ist sowohl den Dämonen als auch den Gottgeweihten gegenüber gütig.
Om again to Andhasya Ganjana Shalakya Chakshunyatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurudevama Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhupada Sri Sri Ananda Surasana Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. This verse is giving us insight into how Krishna gives mercy. Everyone likes mercy. Sounds like something that doesn't cost you anything. Especially if you like that expression, causeless mercy. Mercy without any reason. Everyone likes that. Therefore, the devotees are attracted to Sri Gaura Krishna, Lord Chaitanya. Because even though you don't deserve, you still get. Everyone likes that. Just like when you're shopping and you find a bargain. People get very happy. Yes. I got something very good for such a cheap price. You feel so successful, yes? Like if a man buys a good car and he got it so cheaply, he feels very fulfilled. Or perhaps when ladies find some nice clothes or jewelry at a cheap price, then they feel very satisfied. So, what is the nature of Krishna's mercy, especially as it comes to Lord Chaitanya? Now we see the sun in the sky. There are clouds, so we could expect rain. But often, you'll see, it must happen sometimes in Germany, it happens quite often in New Zealand, that there'll be no clouds in the sky. The sun is shining, yet sometimes rain comes. It happens here something? In English we say it's a sun shower, which we call it in German. You don't have a word for it
though.
It doesn't have to draw. It happened in Uzbekistan. So you have a word in Russian.
It becomes a rainbow.
So, there's no clouds in the sky. There are no clouds in the sky. Meaning there are no causes for the rain to fall that are visible to your eyes. Still the rain comes. The Lord Chaitanya's mercy is like that. There's no cause. Yet the rain of mercy falls down. Now, what is Lord Chaitanya distributing? The opportunity to be Krishna conscious by giving you the taste first. And then you become attracted, even though you have no qualification. This verse in Bhagavatam explains that when Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago, he was thinking of the future devotees of Kali Yuga. That means you offer. All of us. Krishna is thinking, how will these devotees benefit who are taking birth in the darkest age? The darkest age in which the machines are very advanced, but the people are very barbaric. How will they be benefited? Sukadeva Goswami says that Krishna acted in such a way that simply by remembering him, you can be freed from all the lamentation and unhappiness of material existence. So that is the mercy of the Lord. His activities, and through those activities, he shows qualities. A devotee should always set aside a major portion of his or her life for contemplating the activities and qualities of the Lord. That is Krishna's mercy upon us. He's acting in such a way that simply by remembering him, you'll become free from the illusions of material life. So we should take an interest in Krishna's pastimes, Krishna Lila. That is Krishna's mercy upon us. Now, how many of you, in terms of material activities, can say, I will act in such a way that simply by remembering what I do, people will be free from all lamentation and unhappiness? Can anyone do that? By acting material? Can material relationships do that? Can any man tell a woman, my dear love, I will act in such a way that you will be free from all meditation and unhappiness? Of course, you say like that in order to get what you want, but you know, it's not possible. As the Python man explained to Prahlad Maharaj in the seventh canto of Bhagavatam, man and woman come together thinking that their combination will attract happiness and fight off distress. But the result they achieve is always the opposite. Speaking about material relationships. But to the extent that our relationships are material, to that extent, this verse applies. So it is difficult for us to understand how someone can act in such a way that simply by remembering that person's activities, all the problems of the world are solved. Maybe we think this might be like simplistic Christianity, where the Bible says just believe in Jesus, that's fine, and you'll be saved. Krishna in Bhagavad Gita is saying, just think about my activities, just think about my qualities, and you'll be saved. Actually, Krishna doesn't want you to believe in it. That's very cheap. Krishna wants you to think about what he does. Krishna wants you to think about his personal qualities. It's like if a man just believes that he has a wife, is that a very satisfying relationship? Yes? Like, if you say you're very
so much better.
If you, say, if you tell your wife, I believe in you, I believe I have a wife, would that be satisfying? Very little. Yes? You have a husband? So if he says, you know, I believe in you, I believe that you're my wife, would that satisfy you? No, it's a big deal. But if he says, I'm always thinking of your activities and your qualities. Oh, that's something else. Yes? Yes, you say, well, this is very nice. So as I explained yesterday, I give these examples so you can understand how practical Krishna consciousness is. We tend to forget that Krishna is a person. And we overlook how attached we are to personal relationships of this world. We forget about personal relationships with Krishna. Krishna has given us his mercy by his behavior and what he does, his lila, and simply by remembering what Krishna does, you can be free from the unhappiness of material existence. Now you may say, yes, yes, we know that. But do you actually act on this knowledge? You see, we unconsciously have impersonal contamination. That's why the Vaishnava preachers speak so strongly about impersonalism. Nirvishesha, Shunyavadi, Kashtashadeshatari. Impersonalism and voidism. These are conscious and subconscious characteristics of Western so-called civilization. So, in material life, you try to think of someone's activities and get pleasure in that way. But the taste was very small and didn't last. Remember, you can remember when you were a teenager and you had your first romantic attraction. Yes, you all can remember. You would always think, you know, maybe the girl across the street in the village. The boy in the same classroom as you. And you remember, you always think what that person is doing. Does that person notice you? You'd imagine yourself being with that person. And the adults, they would kind of laugh. Oh, you're in teenage love. But then gradually you realize there's not so much taste in this. So then you forget about this principle of getting happiness by thinking about someone's activity. I think that mothers, they try to get some happiness by thinking of what their children are doing. At least my mother. Is that generally something? They can visualize what their children are doing and this way feel some connection. I'm sorry, my mother sends me email messages. Okay, which part of the world are you now? She wants to visualize. She wants to be able to feel this connection. Now, because that's not satisfying in material life, we may forget this principle. And we don't take it seriously when Krishna says, just by remembering his activities, just by thinking of him, you can be freed from the happiness of material life. We should try this. It'll be a great step forward for you to derive satisfaction and comfort just by hearing Krishna's pastimes. It'll be a great step forward in your life if you can show yourself how you'll be satisfied just by opening Krishna book and reading Krishna's activities. This is a great breakthrough in your spiritual development. And in this way, you're taking advantage of Krishna's mercy. Don't think of Krishna's mercy in terms of some abstract conception. No, Krishna's mercy means activities, qualities, relationships. That you should hear about. We'll go to the next verse. Yasmin sakarna piyushe yashastirta vade sakrit shrota shrotanjaliya upasprishya junute karma vasana. And read the translation.
Indem die Geweihten des Herrn einfach mit gereinigten, transmutalen Ohren über seinen Ruhm hören, werden sie sogleich von den starken materiellen Wünschen und fruchtbringenden Handlungen befreit.
Simply by receiving the glories of the Lord through purified transcendental ears, the devotees of the Lord are immediately freed from strong material desires and engagement in fruitive activities. So once again, we're not just talking about believing in God. We're talking about hearing the activities of the Supreme Lord. Sometimes you feel like you're going to be overwhelmed by material desires. Sometimes you look out your window and you see a tsunami of material desires approaching. And you wonder what to do. I'm finished. I can't outrun a tsunami. When they had the big tsunami in Asia, some people try to run, but you can't run fast enough. The tsunami, when it hits the shore, when it's out in the sea, it's moving as fast as a jetliner. And when it hits the shore, it slows down to 160 kilometers per hour. So you can't run. You may look out your window of your life and you see the tsunami of material desires. You wonder what to do. How will Krishna consciousness work now? But Shiva Goswami is telling you how to save yourself. Simply by receiving the glories of the Lord through purified transcendental ears, the devotees of the Lord are immediately free from strong material desires and engagement in karmic fruitive activities.
vollkommen rein.
You can read the purport.
Also, wenn die Gottgeweihten über die Taten der höchsten Persönlichkeit Gottes hören, wie sie in der Bhagavad Gita und im Srimad Bhagavatam dargestellt werden, erlangen sie augenblicklich eine transzendentale Sicht, die das Interesse an materiellen Tätigkeiten verlieren lässt. Auf diese Weise erlangen sie Befreiung von der materiellen Welt. Um die Befreiung der Sinne willen geht praktisch jeder Mensch materialistischen Tätigkeiten nach, die den Kreislauf von Janma, Mithyu, Jala, Yagya, Geburt, Alter, Krankheit und Tod verlängern. Doch indem der Gottgeweihte die Botschaft der Bhagavad Gita hört und die Erzählung der Srimad Bhagavatam genießt, wird er derart rein, dass er nicht mehr an materialistischen Tätigkeiten interessiert ist. Gegenwärtig werden Gottgeweihte in den westlichen Ländern von Krishna-Bewusstsein angezogen und verlieren das Interesse an materialistischer Tätigkeit. Und deshalb versuchen manche Menschen, dieser Bewegung Hindernisse in den Weg zu stellen. Sie kommen dieser Bewegung jedoch unmöglich aufhalten oder die Tätigkeiten der Gottgeweihten in Europa und Amerika mit künstlichen Erschwernissen unterbinden. Die hier gebrauchten Worte Shrotanjaliya Upadrasya weisen darauf hin, dass die Gottgeweihten durch das bloße Hören über die transzendenten Taten des Herrn so rein werden, dass sie gegen die Versuchung durch materialistischen, fruchtbringende Handlungen sofort immun sind. Anyavilasi Parsunya. Materialistische Tätigkeiten sind für die Seele etwas Überflüssiges. Und deswegen werden die Gottgeweihten von solchen Tätigkeiten befreit. Die Gottgeweihten sind auf der Erbe der Befreiung verankert. Sind auf der Ebene der Befreiung verankert. Brahma, Buddha, Palpate. Und können deshalb durch nichts dazu gebracht werden, in ihren materiellen Zuhause zurückzukehren und wieder materialistischen Tätigkeiten nachzugehen.
Materialistic activities are unnecessary for the soul. We were speaking about these things yesterday. Just like there's no actual connection between the body and the soul. Similarly, there's no need for materialistic activities. That is the truth of the situation. So we need a program of therapy so we can immediately or gradually understand and realize this truth. Just think how you can achieve freedom from the material world just by hearing Krishna Lila. This is mercy. As Srila Prabhupada writes here, the devotees cannot be called back to their material homes and materialistic activity. Now you may say, oh, we've seen devotees go back to their materialistic homes and materialistic activities. We see it all the time. A real devotee cannot go back. An aspiring devotee or someone who's trying to be a devotee can go back. Not a real devotee. A real devotee is someone who has the taste for Krishna's name, form, qualities, activities. Of course, I cannot say that I am a devotee. But my mother, recently she tried to call me back to the materialistic home. My grandmother died maybe 10 years ago, I think. My mother just told me something a few months ago. She would call me on the phone with her ultimate weapon, she thought. Did you know that when your grandmother left this world, she left a special fund for you? With money specially designated for you when you come back home. Then she said very deeply, think about it. I said, Mother, it's too late. If you had told me this when I was 25, maybe I would have been a little bit tempted. Now I'm 54, it's too late. What will I do with the money? I would just get some house, and then what? Too old to enjoy? What would I do? Just watch television all day? No, she said, no, it's not too late. I know some nice Christian ladies. Nice church going ladies. They're praying for you. I said, good luck. They can go on praying. I'm glad something brings them on their knees. Because she's 76, I kept saying the point over and over again, just too old, I'm almost dead. She got the hint. I can die at any moment. Don't say like that. You're not old, you're young. Maybe she was feeling, for herself. So she thought that this incentive, this motivation would bring me back to materialistic home. How can the materialistic home compare to hearing about Krishna in association with devotees? Not possible. Well, let us remember this solution that Shukadeva Goswami is presenting to the problems of material desires. Simply by hearing the glories of the Lord through purified transcendent ears, the devotees are immediately free from strong material desires and engagement in karmic activity. Then you're taking advantage of Krishna's mercy. All right, any questions?
Pure transcendental ears.
Mm-hmm.
How do we develop the pure transcendental ears to hear activities correctly?
You develop pure transcendental ears by hearing from an authorized source. Chakravarti Prabhu, he gave me one book about how, he was showing me one book about how, a Christian book about Bible study. Because it can be applied in our studies of Vaishnava literature. So the author was explaining, when you study scripture, you have to be careful to only hear the commentaries of those who are actually devotees of Jesus with an evangelical spirit. Not simply a devotee of Jesus, but they have that evangelical spirit. Then your reading and study will be effective. Of course, we can understand that point. Because what does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Bhaktam sime sakha cheti rahasyam vrita uttama. Arjuna, because you are my bhakta, my devotee, and my sakha, my friend, therefore you can understand this mystery of the Gita. When you hear from the correct source, and you hear in the correct way, submissive hearing, then there will be a result. Furthermore, the more that you engage in devotional service, the more you'll get the taste, the ruchi for hearing about Krishna. This is stated in the first canto of Bhagavatam. Vasudeva katha ruchi sanmaha sevayavipra. By serving the devotee of the Lord, you get the taste for the messages of Vasudeva and Krishna.
Last time the body said in the lecture, and it sounds, it appeared to me to be like a fruitive approach, that he said that he observed that the coming devotees, and they join movement for some time, and after some time they leave, then comes the next generation. They also, to some extent, then they leave, and they are helping just for so many devotees, and still it's not no expansion here in Germany. So what do you should think about this?
How do you measure the expansion?
Of the number of the members.
I don't think in New Zealand we're getting many German devotees. I don't know what's going on here, but many German devotees are coming to Krishna consciousness as they're touring New Zealand. We just send them back here to get, you know, their visa extended, and then they go back. So obviously the German young people are ready for Krishna consciousness. I have no doubts about that.
I wonder. Even they got an idea that Prabhupada's books are too much hard for them, they have exchanged them. Because I want to clear up that one, because he made it a public lecture. I just want to clarify the point, because he made it in the public lecture last time. So, what you should think about it.
All over the world, we're seeing that people are coming to Krishna consciousness by getting Prabhupada's books. It happened in the past, it's happening now. I don't know what happens when the Germans come to New Zealand. They just change, and therefore it's different. They're tourists. They're just coming, you know, for some time, wandering here and there. But then they get Prabhupada's books and they become attracted. So what happens? It's all because they're outside of Germany that the Prabhupada's books can work upon them, huh? Then they get so enthusiastic, and they stay until their visa runs out, and then you say, okay, go back to Germany, renew your visa. They just come back, stay for 3 weeks at their parents' house, get their visa, and leave again. I mean, they're very determined, yes. But now they now they don't even have to go back to Germany. They can renew their visas on the internet. But sooner or later they have to come back, unless they marry there or somebody get residence on them. So you may see them in the future. Then what are you going to say?
People can understand Prabhupada's books.
No, look at you that. Now, I would say, is my opinion, that Prabhupada's books create so much service opportunities for us. You just don't distribute them, but you should help people to read them. Chakrabarti Prabhu was telling about his study classes. That's what Srila Prabhupada wanted. You see, your job doesn't end by distributing the book. The distributing of the book begins the service. And it provides great opportunities for service based on the book. That book, when it's distributed, opens up so many service possibilities. So devotees need to give their association to the people to inspire them to read the book. And then you'll see that. You'll see the magic of the book start to work. But you just stand back and say, oh, so many books distributed. What is the point? People are not understanding.
That's what it is.
Then you lose out on so much service opportunity. The service opportunities are that you can inspire the persons to read the book. By cultivating them, nurturing them. It's necessary today because people don't read as much as in the past. Is that it's certainly so in other parts of the world. Is it so in Germany?
Yeah.
In America, the number of books being sold is always going down. Everyone just wants to have visual entertainment. So, for example, in the 1970s, probably Chakrabarti would agree, it was no big deal for a young person to get a Bhagavad Gita and just sit down and just read it cover to cover because they were hungry for another way of life. I know so many persons who did that. They got a Bhagavad Gita and just for 3 days just read it straight. What's going on here? I want to understand. But now the atmosphere is different in that there's so much multimedia, DVD, CD, on and on it goes. Computer games. So you have to, it's an opportunity for you, for the devotee to do more service by inspiring the person to read. Many people today, they think reading a book means to open it and just jump around. Hey, that's reading. I find this so often. You have to be very patient and loving and tell the people, a book is meant to be read from page one to the end. I don't know how many times a year I say this. You read the book from the beginning. I hear it so many times.
You know, I just jumped here, I just jumped there, I read a page here, read a page there.
You hear this so often these days. Many people don't know how to read anymore. In terms of reading a whole book. So this creates service opportunities for the devotees. But once you get them into it, then they become enlivened spiritually. There can also be supplementary literature written by devotees to heighten the people's appetite for reading Prabhupada's books. Like before the main meal is an appetizer. Increase your We need study guides, we need appetizers, so many of these things. Do you think the Bible is easier to understand than Prabhupada's book? We haven't seen people stop reading the Bible. Of course, they have so much supplementary literature to help you read the Bible. And there's so many Christian groups to help you study the Bible. You see, as I was explaining, I was speaking at the GBC meeting in Mayapur during the BBT presentation, that Prabhupada's books are not just information. They're offering direct contact with the Super Soul because of the extraordinary level of purity of the author. So you're not just getting metaphysical knowledge. So Prabhupada's books are giving you a chance to associate with Krishna. In other words, the Super Soul is in complete cooperation with his books. That's a good experience. So you can, in Germany, you can think that Prabhupada's books are too difficult, but when the Germans come to New Zealand, they don't agree. So, what are we going to do?
I don't think that the books are too difficult. I think that the people, meaning that they are more intelligent as the books. Many people think they are more intelligent.
Well, that's always the problem in Kali Yuga.
Yes, it's not so.
The fools of Kali Yuga think that they are so smart. That's always a problem. The number one thing that is missing is devotee association. Devotees reaching out. That's the thing that's missing. Don't blame it on Prabhupada's books.
In comparison, how much outreach is there nowadays in comparison with the past?
Right.
Yeah, people complaining. We have seen this one.
Most of the young people don't even know.
Yeah, when these Germans come to New Zealand, they have never seen Hare Krishna before.
Yeah.
They
don't know anything about it. No wonder nobody is.
So why are we blaming Prabhupada's books for our own inabilities, our own laziness?
Mm-hmm. Books also become very easy to understand and understand how the devotees can live out.
Mm-hmm. To see how the devotees are living means to associate with the devotees.
Yes.
So we have to think of ways how to connect with the people more. And then the people will get your enthusiasm for reading the books. Of course, the devotees have to first have enthusiasm for reading the books.
Question here, yeah. What could you give some advice for what the wedding women with crummy husbands do?
They have children. So we don't want to break up families. It is possible to work with the situation. I would say that such a situation should only be broken if it is impossible. The husband becomes violent and he's actively trying to stop your Krishna conscious activities. But although it's not obviously the best situation, I know many ladies who tolerate the situation for the sake of their children. As long as the husband doesn't interfere with their emotional activities. But if he's violently opposed, don't go associate with devotees. You stop chanting. Get these books out of the house. Bring my whiskey. Then you have to run.
So what to do if the husband likes eating meat and quite often does he bring meat into the house and wants to eat it there? Should I forbid him from bringing the meat into the house?
He doesn't make you cook it, does it? Does
not. No. No.
Now these are questions you'll have to decide. The ladies have their feelings. It's a special world. For a man to understand ladies' feelings, trying to understand an occult world. So I cannot understand the depths of your attachment. That's something you know. He's a very personal thing.
Yeah.
If I knew more of your situation, I could give more specific advice. Because all these situations are individual. You have to sincerely pray to Krishna. And you get some guidance by your specific situation. You know, ladies, they have their children, and they're generally concerned, my children should have a father. So there's so many issues to be concerned with. We don't want to see families broken so easily. We have to see what the individual situation is. Do you think it's possible to go on or no?
Yes, for the moment.
Alright, so there's something you have to decide.
Yeah.
No one can make that decision for you. You have to work through your feelings, the situation.
As if they're not keen to have no children, then it's possible.
It's much, much easier to walk out the door then. But children are a very great responsibility. If there are no children, then basically you're just dealing with your attachment for your partner. That's all. But if there are children, that's another universe. Okay? Just chant the holy name with sincerity. Think about your life very carefully. What are your goals and how strongly you want those goals? Be patient. Don't do anything suddenly.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Have a good one.
Thank you.